I know different people are learning different things around here. So we're going to try to talk about something which is not relevant to anything that anybody's learning. This one guy gets shit, that doesn't make so much noise. Then we'll get, we'll use the shtetl. Okay. That's right. So I thought we would learn Pshat, so to speak, in a Pasuk Chumash, in this week's Pasha. The Torah tells us in the middle of the Pasuk, and one of the terrible curses that's going to happen is Ba'ofu Hesen Noshim Lach Mechem Etan Echad. There's not going to be enough food, there's not going to be enough bread, and they're going to have 10 women, they're going to be all sharing one oven in order to bake one loaf of bread. Ba'ofu Hesen Noshim Lach Mechem Etan Echad. So this pasuk becomes a source for many, many halachas in terms of Hilchos Lechem. So I thought we would talk a little bit about this pasuk, in particular it relates to Halacha Lemaisa in terms of many, many of the areas of halacha that Lechem is important. Starting with the Peschala, talking about the Chesemot, and the Brachas, but some other aspects of Lechem as well. So there are four phrases that appear in this pasuk, in this week's parsha. Each one of them becomes critical to be magnified, to define properly, and hopefully at the end of the shiur, we'll try to define them at least as best as we can, and try to see Lemaisa what comes out of this. So the four phrases are Va'afu, Lashon Afia, is critical in terms of defining Lechem. The very word lechem is critical. The third word, tanur, is critical. What exactly constitutes a tanur? And what role does a tanur, does an oven have in terms of being kaveh the shem lechem? And then the fourth is the phrase, the word echad, so one oven. What is unique about one oven, one, two ovens, five ovens, 20 ovens? What exactly is the significance of that phrase? So four different halachic phrases we're going to try to define. So afia, lechem, tanur, and echad. So beginning with afia, so when we speak about lechem, when we think about lechem, so our initial reaction to lechem, many of us learned from Shabbos in the past, is that there are really two distinct stages that go into the creation of the shem lechem. So the first is the process of lisha, you take the flour and the water and you mix it together, that's a pretty critical component in terms of the baking bread. And then the second is afia, the actual baking into the oven. So lechor, if you would have asked me, I would have said that bread is defined whenever the halacha requires lechem, which in so many different areas of halacha, and Hilchos Challah requires lechem, and Hilchos Brachos and Mazon requires lechem, and Hilchos Yadayim requires lechem, and Matzah requires lechem. So I would have thought that any area of halacha where the halacha requires lechem, so both of these stages have to be fulfilled. Both of these components are critical. That it has to have lisha, it has to have kneading, and it has to have afia. That's what I would have said. So the first person to disagree with me is Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rishonim quote, Tosfos quotes this in several places, all the Rishonim quote in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the following Chiddush. This is based on a Mishnah Maseches Challah. We'll leave out the details of the wording of the Mishnah precisely. It's somewhat complicated, but Rabbeinu Tam basically concluded, based on the Mishnah, the first prep of Maseches Challah, the following Chiddush, Gavul Lagavi Hilchos Challah. Says Rabbeinu Tam, there are two different ways that a person can be Chayav in Challah. If a person takes flour and water and kneads it into a dough, what we call in Halacha a Blila Ava, those of us have a Shabbos, remember these phrases, a Blila Ava, make a thick dough out of it, like a bread dough, a matzah dough, a cookie dough, something like that. Says Rabbeinu Tam, such a dough is chayav and challah no matter what you do to it. Even if you never get around to baking it, never sees the inside of an oven, rather it's prepared through cooking process, which is usually the antithesis of afia. Says Rabbeinu Tam, such a dough is chayav and challah min ha-Torah. What Rabbeinu Tam calls a Belila Ova Shenis Bashla, that's considered to be an absolute chi of government at Torah in Afrashis Challah. What would be just some practical examples of Belila Ova Shenis Bashlas? So let's say, for example, a donut, a jelly donut is a classic Belila Ova Shenis Bashla. Anyone's ever seen the making of a Sukkaniya? So it's a thick dough which is cooked. It's not cooked in water, that means it's deep fried in oil. But deep frying something in oil is the halach equivalent of cooking it in water. So the upper Rabbeinu Tam would hold that a jelly donut would be chayav and challah min haTorah. But there's some other examples of things that you have blila ovas, shenis bashlas. Say you have a kreplach, or for the more Chinese-oriented, a wonton, which kreplach for the Yiddish-speaking people, wontons for the Chinese-speaking people, it's basically the same thing. It's a thick dough that's also thrown into a big vat of oil, which is basically halachically considered to be cooked. Those things would be chayav min challah min haTorah, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Another example of something that would be chayav min challah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, would be lakshin. The Tosfos in Maseches Berachos quotes an old French word for something that says that according to Rabbeinu Tam, such and such word will be chayav min challah. So Tosfos gives an old French word. So if you look in the Mitargim, so very often the Mitargim is not that helpful. If you know German from the 1600s, then it's very, very helpful. But if your German is a little bit, your German of the 1600s is about as good as your French of the 1100s, like myself, so then you usually end up nowhere with the Mitargim. So this particular Mitargim happens to be pretty good because he gives us a word that we know. He says Lakshin. And he says, just in case you don't know what Lakshin is, so he writes Nun Vav Dalad Ayin Lam Doodle. So we figured out what it means. So Rabbeinu Tam holds that Lakshin noodles, those kinds of products, would be Chayav and Challah also. because even though they never see the inside of the oven, they never bake, they're cooked in water, it doesn't matter, it goes to a bit of time. And if you have to blue la'ava, by definition, is chayav in challah. Then Rabbi Natan goes one step further. Rabbi Natan says, what if you have the reverse? What if you have a type of a food that's prepared that is lacking in lisha? It does, not a bli la'ava in halacha. So lisha is always defined as bli la'ava, as a thick dough. So it's called a bli la'raka, just a battery type of a substance, just as in Ochel Shabbos, you may remember that a bli la'raka is not considered to be the malacha of lisha, the da'araisa. If it's just a pourable batter, that's not called lisha. So says Rabbi Natan, what would that halacha be? If you make a bli la'raka, you make a very, very thin type of a batter, but then you subsequently bake that batter. You put that batter into an oven. So says Rabbi Natan, that will also be chayav in challah. What would be a practical example of this? Most of our cakes. So you take a cake batter, it's not a dough, it's not a hard, thick bread or matzah dough. It's a pourable batter, and you put it into the oven. Says Rabbi Natan, that's also chayav in challah mid araisa. So Rabbi Natan clearly is telling us, in contrast to what we thought originally, when we started this sugya, we thought that both procedures are necessary to be chayav in challah. You have to have lisha as well as afia. So when one fell swoop, Rabbi Natan told us we were wrong on both counts. That the halacha is not that you require lisha and afia, but rather either one suffices. Either lisha creates the chayav challah, or afia creates the chayav challah. Therefore, says Rabbi Natan, the lakshin wontons and kreplachs and donuts are chayav min challah min haTorah, as well as the sponge cake and honey cakes are also chayav min challah min haTorah. Each one for a different reason. One has lisha without afia, and the other has afia without lisha. So let's analyze the Shita Rabbi Natan for a moment. The first part, particularly the first part of Rabbi Natan, which was the more controversial part of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan argues that the jelly donuts, the kreplach, and the wontons are chayavim in challah because they had a belila ova, even though they never had an afia. So yesh lachkor, what's the nature of this din of Rabbi Natan? What did Rabbi Natan mean to say? So there is the machlokes that we've shown him is precisely to define what Rabbi Natan's Shita was. So Tosfos in Maseches Brachos suggests that what Rabbi Natan meant was as follows, that Rabbi Natan is redefining for us the shem lechem. Lechem is a halachic concept, and even though the Pasuk says in Parshas Bechukotai, v'afu lachman eser noshim lachmechem mitan arechot, one would have thought that the word lechem requires a fee. Without a fee, you can't get into the batter's box in terms of defining lechem. So Rabbi Natan Tosfos says that's not true. Rabbi Natan's sheet is that afia is not a precondition for the shem lechem, and therefore it's chayim in challah. Because after all, challah, you require lechem. The Torah says, "Vayav alchochim lechem ha'aretz." If it's not called lechem, then it's not chayim in challah. So the Ben Tam is saying that we avish and isbash, that's chayim in challah. So he's telling you that it's called lechem. Therefore, based on this understanding of Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan is being magdir of lila ova as a shem lechem. Then Tosfos goes on to extrapolate to other areas about lechem. Lechem is important, particularly in the realm of Hilchos Brachos. We know that min haTorah you only recite Birchas Hamazon on lechem, mid Rabbanan you only make a bracha of Amotzi lechem in Aretz if it's called lechem. So comes Tosfos and says, what would Rabbi Natan say about the bracha of Hamotzi and all the foods that we mentioned above? So comes Tosfos and says that according to Rabbi Natan, you'd have to make a Hamotzi. So lechor, you'd have to make a Hamotzi on the jelly donuts, and lechor, you'd have to make a Hamotzi on the kreplach and on the noodles and on the wontons, everything. The bracha would be a Hamotzi because Rabbi Natan says, chayav in challah. So that's equated to saying, the halach equivalent of saying that something is chayav in challah is to say that it's called lechem, notwithstanding the lack of afiyah. And if it's called lechem v'chus challah, then it's called lechem v'chus brachos. That's how Tosfos formulates Shitas Rabbi Natan. So even though that is true in theory, the way Tosfos presents Rabbi Natan, lemaisa, that's not exactly what comes out, even according to Tosfos. Out of the four foods that we mentioned, the jelly donuts, the kreplach, the wontons, and the lakshin, although in theory all four should require hamotzi and bichas hamazon according to Rabbi Natan, in reality that is not the case for technical reasons. There is a halacha in Hilchos hamotzi that just being called lechem is not sufficient to require a bracha of hamotzi. It has to look like bread as well. It has to have what the Gemara calls tzuras apas. So even though it may apidin be called lechem, but if it doesn't appear to have the tzura apas, so then it does not require hamotzi. So therefore, Tosfos puts the brakes on Shitas Rabbi Natan, and Tosfos says that noodles, you don't make hamotzi on noodles. You have a bowl of pasta, a bowl of lakshin, so you don't recite hamotzi, even though it's technically lechem, and it's technically chayim l'challah, it's lechem without tzuras alechem, so Hilchos Brachos, tzuras alechem plays an important role. However,
who decides what's tzuras
alechem? That's an excellent question, yeah. That's a very good question. A very unclear who makes that call. So comes Tosfos and says, so it's true that the lakshin doesn't have tzuras apas, but all the other things Tosfos assumes do have tzuras apas. Lakshin is not, but wontons, the kreplach, and the jelly donuts, everything of the above does have tzuras apas. Jelly donuts may lose out the brachas hamotzi on very, very technical grounds, because jelly donuts are probably what falls into the category of havalach or pasta of a kisnin. Just because something is bread in halacha doesn't mean that you automatically recite a motzi on it. Besides the condition of having tzuras apas, it has to be something which is nechal b'derech l'sboa. It has to be something that people usually eat as a meal, in contrast to things that people usually eat as a snack. So jelly donuts, even though they're technically lechem, they're technically pas, but they may lose out the bracha of a motzi, they may lose out brachas hamazon, because they're not nasa l'hasbia, and therefore they're labeled in the category of pasta above a kisnin. It's for this reason that the Gemara tells us in Brachas that if you have a particular type of food that basically is called pas, it has the status of pas, it even has a tzuras of pas, it's just lacking in nasa l'hasbia. If you eat it derech tvi'a suda, then you would be required to wash and bench on it. Let's say, l'moshel, you have other kinds of foods which are pasta b'kistin. If you have enough of it, there's a whole question how much enough is. That's a quantitative question, not for now. But if you have enough of pasta b'kistin, then the bracha would become hamotzi. If you have food which is not lechem altogether, it's not even the ballpark of lechem, or even if it is called lechem and it doesn't have a tzuras apas, then it doesn't matter how much you eat, the bracha is never going to be hamotzi. But if you have a type of a food which is alpidin called lechem, and it has a tzuras apas, and it's only lacking in the nasa lahasbia, so then kibiyah suda is going to change the halacha. So therefore, practically, according to Tosfos, it comes out that even though there are four different examples that we gave, we'll just keep the wontons and the kapach is one, because it's really the same thing. The three different examples that we gave, the jelly donuts, the lokshin, and the wontons, so all three of them are chayavos in chalamid arayis, according to Rabbeinu Tam, but each one of them has a different halach in terms of Hilchos Brachos, that the noodles don't get a hamotzi because they're lacking in tzuras apas. So therefore, no matter how much you eat of them, it's never going to require hamotzi. It's always going to be mizonos, even though it's chayavos in chal, according to Rabbeinu Tam. When it comes to the jelly donut, so the jelly donut is called lechem, and the jelly donut has tzuras apas, but it's lacking in nechel lahasbia. So therefore, it's treated like pasta b'kistin, and if you have just a snack of it, a small amount, then it's mizonos. If you have a kviyas suda, then you have to wash and bench with the bracha of hamotzi. But if you have a wonton, if you have a wonton or a kreplach, those are things which are nasa l'hasbia. Those are not even for dessert. Those are even as main parts of the meal. So that's pas gomer. It's mamash lechem gomer. It has a chaloshem lechem api aloch. It has a tzuras apas. It has a nasa l'hasbia. It has everything going for it. And therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to wash and bench and make a hamotzi, mamash like a regular piece of bread of these types of foods. So it comes out, according to Rabbeinu Tam, at least the way Tosfos formulates Rabbeinu Tam, there are Rabbeinu Tam's side of Belila Ovash and his Bashma, thick doughs that were subsequently cooked, had the status of bread. So this is true not only in the Chalav, but we can extrapolate from Chalav to Hamotzi. And again, you have to work out the technical details in terms of some of the foods, but at least the Ikaron, or at least practically, even in the case of the Kretlach, the wontons, so the Bracha will in fact be a Motzi crunch of Benita. Notwithstanding Tosfos' presentation of Rabbeinu Tam, the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah and Maseches Brachos in the sixth parak present Rabbeinu Tam in an entirely different light. Come Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah and said that all Rabbeinu Tam said, Rabbeinu Tam was explaining a Mishnah Maseches Chal in the first parak. Rabbeinu Tam wasn't even talking about Hilchos Brachos. All Rabbeinu Tam said is that if you have a Belila Avash and his Bashla, so it's Chayavis and Chalas. Tosfos jumped and said, well, if it's Chayavis and Chala, then it must be called Lechem to Hilchos Hamotzi as well. So say Rabbeinu Yonah and Apidon, there's absolutely no connection between being chayav el chala and reciting hamotzi. Say the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah, what's the mechayav el chala? So the Torah uses two phrases when it speaks about chala. It uses the phrase lechem, that is true, but it also uses the phrase arisei seichem, a lashon isa, mereishis arisei seichem, a pasuk in Parshas Shlach. So say to the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah that an isa is a separate, independent mechayav el chala, notwithstanding the fact that it's not called lechem b'chol dinei haTorah. So all Rabbeinu Tam meant to say is that a blila ova shenis bashla is considered to be chayevas and chala because it's called an isa, but nowhere did Rabbeinu Tam ever even hint to say that it's considered to be a shem lechem. It's not considered to be lechem b'chlal. B'chol dini yater, it's not called lechem. What defines lechem? Pashas b'chukosai, the afu, rashim, the taner echad. You require an afia. If you don't have an afia, all you have is a dish, and all you have is cooking or throwing into a vat of oil, that's not considered to be an afia, and therefore it's not called a shem lechem in halacha. Why is it chayevas and chala? It's chayevas and chala, because chala is a different story. Chala is a din of isa, it's not a din of lechem, and therefore it's chayevas and chala. This is Rabbeinu Yonah's version, the Das Rabbeinu Tam. Therefore it would come out, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that even though all these foods, let's say the wontons, the krapfen, the jelly donuts, even though they're chayavos in challah, but one would not recite a hamotzi on them. They're not even in the ballpark of reciting a hamotzi because they don't have the status of lechem. So on kol panim, we have Shittas Rav Tam, who said something v'gavi of challah. There we have Machlekes and Rishayim, Tais and Rabbeinu Yonah. What exactly did Rabbeinu Tam say vis-a-vis challah? Notwithstanding Shittas Rav Tam, we gave Rabbeinu Tam 20 minutes of our time. So Rabbeinu Tam, he deserves more than 20 minutes of our time. For Rabbeinu Tam, Pashas was a Das Yochid. That most of the Rishayim disagreed with the entire Rabbeinu Tam. Hakol Nikol Kol. And in terms of Hilchos Challah, disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam's original Chiddush. The Rash in his Perishim Mishnayis, Ibn Shimshon in his Perishim Mishnayis, Maseches Challah, strongly disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Rambam disagrees, many Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, and say the whole Torah Me'olam that Rabbeinu Tam's whole reading of the Mishnah Maseches Challah that led him to believe that his Chayv in Challah without an Afiyah is not true. That an Afiyah is absolutely critical in order to be Chayv in Challah, and therefore if you have a Blila Abash in his Bashla, so there wouldn't be a Chayv in Challah B'chlal. So let's say Lamaisa, you have a jelly donuts, there's no need to be mafish challah on jelly donuts, there's no need to be mafish challah on noodles, there's no need to be mafish challah on the wontons, the krepel, nothing. So you can't even begin to discuss whether you make a hamotzi on it. It's a joke of a question. If it's not even chayav and challah, so for sure there's not even the beginning of a discussion of reciting hamotzi. Even Rabbeinu Tam, who said it is chayav and challah, we're not sure you make a hamotzi on. So a kol panim, it turns out there are really three different shittas in the Rishonim. How do we view these kinds of food, these types of doughs that started out as dough and then they were subsequently cooked? What's the status vis-a-vis challah? What's the status vis-a-vis brachas? So Tosfos Aliba de Rabbeinu Tam says that dino kelechem bein lechala bein lebrachas. Rabbeinu Yonah Aliba de Rabbeinu Tam says the chayiv and challah, but not because they're called lechem, but rather because they're called isa. Therefore, in brachas they do not get a motzi. And the Rash and the Ramban would say that they're not even chayiv and challah. They're nothing. They're zero. That's not enough to be chayiv and challah. Kav v'chomer legad yilchus brachas. How do we pass in lemaisa on this machlokes, this three-way machlokes that we shown him? So in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Challah, the Rabbeinu Tam is not quoted. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashi Shita and the Ramban Shita that the jelly donuts and the wontons and all of the above are pturim from challah legamri. Notwithstanding the fact that the Shulchan Aruch left it out in Hilchos Challah, the Shach quotes that the Shita is Rabbeinu Tam, there's nothing to put away. So the Shach writes, therefore he thinks one should be machmet to be mafish challah, albeit without a bracha. Whenever you have these kinds of svekis, of the jelly donuts, these kinds of things, so you should be mafish challah without a bracha to be cheshish v'shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So again, different practices about this. The Mechaber and the Ramos seem to be making legam, and the Shach is machmer, at least the Torah Safek. In terms of Hilchos Brachos, so no one's going to have the guts to actually make a hamotzi and any of these kinds of things. As Meikra did, Shulchan Aruch paskins that the one time the mamish potter from Rosh Hashanah, so to go make a bracha of hamotzi on it, no one's going to be chayish Rabbeinu Tam mamish to make hamotzi. So there are some poskim who quote Shulchan Aruch, others quote that perhaps in Hilchos Brachos we should be chayish Rabbeinu Tam and try to avoid eating these kinds of things. Because if a person wants to eat a kreplach out of the context of a meal, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, maybe a shayla of a bracha, maybe a shayla of a motzi, so maybe the proper thing to do would be to avoid eating it, and should only try to eat it in the context of a meal, perhaps. If one wants to be chayshish for Rabbeinu Tam, shita.
We normally a mafish challah,
on what? It depends on what?
On challah.
Right.
Right? That's kolim afiyos, so there's already a machayah.
Yeah, the East is already Mechayev, assuming that it's going to reach a point of a Afiyah. So this Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rash that started out as Machlokes Hilchos Challah and now spills over to Hilchos Brachos is going to have a very, very important afkamina for us, Lemaisa, as well. There is a whole sugya in the second parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah where the Gemara speaks about the Bishul Acham and Pas Acham. The Mishnah says that the Chachamim prohibited us from eating Bishul Acham, any food that was cooked by a non-Jew, and the Chachamim prohibited us from eating Pas Acham, any food that was baked by a non-Jew. Even though the Mishnah presents both of these takanas at equal force, the Gemara and Rishalmi and Rishonim elaborate upon this and explain that it's not quite the case, that Bishul Acham is significantly more chomer than Pas Acham, that the Chachamim limited the Yisr of Pas Acham, they chiseled away the Yisr to a great deal, because it was too difficult to keep. Since people have to eat bread, you don't have to eat cooked food, you have to eat bread. So Therefore, the Chachamim were meikel, gave us many, many leniencies in the realm of Pas Akam. So one of the coolers that we're knowing is what's called Pas Palta. That any time the baker of this bread was a non-Jew, but he was a professional baker, even though you know who he is, but you're not going to have a social relationship with him, he's a professional, he's doing it for his job. So the Gezeirah of Pas Akam doesn't apply. That cooler of Palta does not apply in the realm of Mishal Akam. It only applies in the realm of Pas Akam. So the Tosis raises the question at the beginning of the second paragraph of the second Beitza, how do you define precisely what's considered to be pas and what's considered to be bishul? So pas, we know, usually bread is pas and mas is pas, and bishul we know, potatoes are bishul and eggs are bishul and fish is bishul and meat is bishul. So we're pretty sure we know what pas is and what bishul is, but there are a few foods in the middle of the Tosis that we can't quite put our fingers on. We're not exactly sure whether these particular foods are pas or whether these particular foods are bishul. What is the problem? What's the latest of suffixes does this? What about cookies and cakes? Those kinds of foods, are they considered to be past? Are they considered to be bishul? So on the one hand, they don't seem to really be past because you don't make hamotzi on them. So if you don't make hamotzi on them, it's hard to call them lechem. It's hard to call them past. On the other hand, if you would eat enough of them, if you would have kaviyah suv on these kinds of foods, called pasam abikisim, so you would have to wash and bench, you would recite hamotzi on them. So they do have certain aspects of pas. So Taisus says, nishteher, the cookies and cakes are right smack in the middle. We can't put our fingers on, are they considered to be pas, are they considered to be bishul? So the saving grace for these cookies and cakes is the fact that even though normally you don't recite hamotzi on them, but in theory you could. If you had enough of them, then you would in fact recite hamotzi on them. So how do we pass in halacha on this 2 days, these suffix and Taisus? So the Ramah Nuchas Bishul Akav is making on this. That's what that meaning is. We assume the kula on this. We assume that cookies and cakes are not subject to the iser of Bishul Akav. We assume that they're called pas, and therefore they're subject to the heter of pas pal. So therefore you can go into the store and buy Entenmann's cookies. And presumably that's not a problem because it's a palter, it's a professional business type of a baking. And even though it's not actual bread, you don't make hamotzi normally on Entenmann's, but if you had enough Entenmann's cookies, you'd have to make hamotzi on them. So therefore, it's considered to be pas for these purposes as well. So that's what that minhag is like this Ramah. So the Shaila was raised in the recent years that l'chora, this is only true when we speak about cookies and cakes. What about if you have donuts? What would the halacha be about if you want to go to Dunkin' Donuts, you want to go into Krispy Kreme, I don't know, whatever, whichever donuts have mashkachas on them, and you want to buy them, why aren't they a problem with Bishul Akam? And maybe they are a problem with Bishul Akam. So let's pause it for a moment. So how are they prepared exactly? So the donuts, we know they're prepared. They're prepared by taking a big, thick dough and throwing it into a big jar of oil. So l'chora, that's the machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that that's called pas, it's chayav, at least it's chayav in challah, and at least Tosis's version of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's called lechem. So according to Tosis's version of Rabbeinu Tam, if you ate 15 donuts, you would have to wash and bench. So that's good for us, in terms of maybe bad for us, because brachas, that's good for us in terms of b'shalachot. Since according to Tosis's version of Rabbeinu Tam, if you ate a lot of donuts, you would have to wash and bench. So therefore, it's the same as cookies and cakes, and therefore the Ramah was mechuil the kula that anything that potentially gets hamotzi so is not considered to be bishul akam, it's considered to be pas akam, and therefore pas palta would be mutar. So if Tosfos is right, the das Rabbeinu Tam, then we can defend the practice of eating the non-Jewish donuts because it's the same as eating the Entenmann's cookies. However, if you hold either like Rabbeinu Yonah, the das Rabbeinu Tam, that you would not make hamotzi because it's not called lechem. Chayv el challah, yes, but it's not called lechem. Or even worse, if you hold like the Rash and the Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch and the Chuschala, that it's not even chayv el challah. So if it's not chayv el challah, it's not even in the ballpark of being called lechem. If it's not even in the ballpark of being called lechem, so then there's nothing to discuss in terms of Hilchas Brachos. If you eat 1,000 of the mizonos, you would still make a mizonos in Nala Michya. So that spells trouble for us in terms of Hilchas Bishul Akam. Because the only thing that permitted us to eat cookies and cakes baked by non-Jews in the first place was the possibility of reciting hamotzi on them that transformed them to be pas, took them out of the parish of being bishul. But donuts, which don't have that possibility, because donuts, according to the Choltim on Rabbeinu Tam, according to either Rabbeinu Yonah's version of Rabbeinu Tam or the Rashi Shita, the Shulchan Aruch Shita, they're not even chayav and chala b'chalal. So for sure, you never ever would recite hamotzi on them. So hadukush l'duchta, the donuts are mamish considered to be bishul hacham, they should mamish be treif. That's what some of them are. That all the donuts, they should trafe up all donuts in the world, even the ones with the quote unquote Ashkacha, they should all be trafe out to Bishul Akam.
So, would there also be enough community regarding
Sliacha,
Bishul,
Sliacha, Apir? Yeah, maybe we'll have some time at the end to over that, maybe. So, the suggestion.
Just
Are donuts a little ashrocham lachem?
Oh, that's the answer. So the answer is that in the chenami, the donuts really should have been trei, mishum mishalachem. But what saved donuts is a totally different halacha than chuz mishalachem, and that's the halacha of eina ola ashrocham lachem. The Gemara says that anything which is very cheap kind of a food that you wouldn't usually serve at a fancy dinner, so that's not subject to Bishalakam in the first place. So the reason why donuts are mutter is based on that. It's a totally different heter than the reason why cakes and cookies are mutter. Cakes and cookies are mutter because they're pasakam, and therefore paspalt is mutter. Donuts are mutter because they ain't Allah Shulchan Alachim. So there's an afkamina ladina between those two heterim. Comes out during a Sarasim Echuva, we have an age old custom, Shulchan Aruch quotes, not to rely on the kula of paspalta. Since paspalta is a big machlekes gemara, machlekes rishonim. So even though all year long nevach will make it, we have no choice, but on Aseres Mitzvah we try to live up to a slightly higher standard. So the minhag Yisrael is not to rely on the heter of paspalta during Aseres Mitzvah. It doesn't mean during Aseres Mitzvah we don't rely on other heter, other kulas. We don't ask for everything in the whole world in Aseres Mitzvah. Certain chumras have been accepted by Klai Yisrael to follow. So come to post and say that the heter of Eina Ola Shulchan Alachim, that's a good solid heter, that's the Pharisee's mind of Azara. So that we have no qualms about, we have no problems with that heter. We're going to be making on that even during Aseres Mitzvah. So it comes out an interesting quirk that during Aseres Mitzvah, one should be careful not to buy entabins, cookies, because they're considered to be mutter because of paspalt. The paspalt we don't want to follow during Aseres Mitzvah. Whereas the Krispy Kreme and the Dunkin' Donuts, those are the Fionias diet, you can eat them even Erev Yom Kippur, you can have your cinnamon step with the donuts, because the heter there is based on a totally different heter. It's not based on paspalt. Paspalt wouldn't help you here, because it's not pas, because we don't accept the Rebbeinu Tam. It's based on heter, and Ola Shulchan Alachim, and Ola Shulchan Alachim. It's heter gomer, it's mutl l'chadchila, shul l'chadchila. So therefore, the Fionias diet, one could be makel on the Dunkin' Donuts, one would have to ask the Entenmann's cookies. Just for those who are interested, the Entenmann's donuts are the same as the Entenmann's cookies. They're not real donuts. They're just cake, which is just made into a circle for some trouble on that. But if you get a real glorified, a real bona fide donut, which is deep fried, like Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme donuts, those would be mutter drank even during a Saras and So what we're doing now, we've only discussed really the first half of Rabbeinu Tam, really the first half of the sugya, that was the blila ava shenis v'hashla. What about the second half of what Rabbeinu Tam said? Rabbeinu Tam said that something could be chayv and chala, even if it never had a blila in the first place, it never had a blila ava. It was a thin battery kind of a food that was baked in an oven. As long as it was baked in an oven, that carries it in. Baking in an oven, that's kaveh shem lechem, it's chayv and chala, I'm old, see the works. It doesn't matter whether it had a blila ava or not. So it's based on this Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So sponge cakes and honey cakes and all these kinds of cakes, even though they were batter, they were soft batters, they were not hard doughs. They are chayav min chala mid arai. So this is Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. And this particular Nakuda Rabbeinu Tam, even the Rash agrees to. That even the Rash, who disagreed with the first half of Rabbeinu Tam, writes the Feirish, Rabbeinu Tam, although he was not correct in the first Chiddush of his, but the second Chiddush, which he learned Pshat in the Mishnah Chala, so that the Rash was made it to Rabbeinu Tam. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch Feirish, in Hilchos Chala, that if you have a Belila Raka, She Ne'afa, as long as it had an Afiyah to it, so that carries the day, then you're home free, and then there's nothing, to be concerned about. So notwithstanding Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, and Shittas Rash, and Shittas Shulchan Aruch, that Lilarakba Shinefas Chayevas and Khalamid Araiza, the Ramban seems to disagree with this. The Ramban in Hilchos Chala appears in the middle of Maseches Bechoros. So there's a sugi about Hilchos Chala, right smack in the fourth paragraph of Bechoros. So the Ramban just started to write everything you wanted to know about the Chala, right punk right there. So in the middle of Maseches Bechoros and Hilchos Chala, so the Ramban takes on all the other Rishon. The Ramban disagrees with the Rash, and disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and he says that in order to be Chayev and Chala, it is not enough for it to. For it to have afiyah, it has to have a belila as well. If it doesn't have a belila of it to it, then there's nothing to discuss. So therefore, according to Ramban, it comes out a tremendous chiddush. It comes out that sponge cakes and honey cakes, any soft battery cake, is not going to be chayvet chalav chalav according to the sheet of the Ramban. How do we pass in lahalofa? So the Shulchan Aruch pass in straight like the time of the Rash. Is not even the siachis to the Ramban. And there are some Acharonim who accepted the Ramban. They say Reb Chaim, some of the Yeshivot. Reb Chaim thought the Ramban was meek or didn't write. Others defended the Shittas of Ramban. So the bottom line is the Machlokes are Rishonim. So there are different practices today in different communities, different bakeries, how to be noeg in some of these shilas. So there were certain bakeries that had a custom in Europe already, and that custom carried over to America. I don't know if they're going on Eretz Yisrael, but there were certain bakeries in America that were makel and d'shaila, that they followed the Shittas Ramban, they followed the tradition of Reb Chaim, even against the Shulchan Aruch, even against what appears to be Rav Rishonim, that again, Chalas Chutzlar is only with the Rabban. Anyway, so it's somewhat of a Isser Kal. So therefore, there were some bakeries that had the custom of not being Mafish Chala on cakes. And anything that was a blila avash in nefa that they were mafish chala on, anything that was a blila ratash in nefa, they were not mafish chala on. So therefore, the mice of the sponge cakes, honey cakes, those kinds of cakes, the battery cakes, so they were never mafish chala on. And there are other hashgach organizations that insisted the chumra, that insisted we have to follow what says the Shulchan Aruch. You can't just pick up a Ramban and a chala and change what says the Shulchan Aruch. They'll be fasting Shulchan Aruch like they're a better time with the rash. So you have to be mafish chala on these kinds of things. So you have different practices in different communities. So if you're interested in being mocked in the Shabbat, you should find out which bakeries are first I checked the RCGC policy is that they're mocked in the Shabbat. That's what I was told. So anyone wants to know about other Shabbat that you're
not
remaining
even with the bracha?
No, would they be mocked? Would they be mocked? Maybe mocked in the Shabbat with the bracha? I don't know. I'd be very nervous to be mocked with the bracha. I'm not sure. I'll check out with the RCGC. But the Chorah, based on everything that we're saying, that on cookies, so there's mamish nothing to discuss. And cookies has everything going against it in terms of the chala, because it's a blila of it's a thick dough, and it's an afia. So it's mamish chayavis and chala, ben lefir ben adam, ben lefir ramban, ben lefir arash, ben lefir shulchan aruch, you name it, every possible permutation in the world holds that cookies are chayavim and chala, except for one. So the Erech HaShulchan and Hilchas Chala came up with the Gevaldik Yisayid, that the truth is that he wasn't the first one to have it. Rabbeinu Yonah, Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah Bracha seemed to say it as well. The Erech HaShulchan doesn't quote it for Rabbeinu Yonah, but it seems to be Pierre Redi and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Erech HaShulchan writes that just as we have a klal in Hilchas Bracha, as we mentioned before, that there's a difference between something which is Na'asel Hasbiyah versus something which is Na'asel Kinuach, and in Hilchas Bracha, something which is just made as a snap. So the bracha is slightly different, that it's not always a motzion. Sometimes motzion can be a suit, etc. So that idea exists in Hilchos Chala as well. And therefore, the Erech HaShulchan argues that anything which is made primarily for a snack, not primarily for a meal, would not be chayav in Chala in the first place. So therefore, says the Erech HaShulchan, that klal trumps everything else we've been talking about. So even though it may be true that it had a blila of, it may be true that it had an afia, and it's a taner, it's got everything going against it, but afa b'chayav, if it's nasel, like you knew of, then it's going to be potter from Chala. So there was some bakery that had this custom as well. So this was already more of a Das Yachid. The Erech HaShulchan was quite a Chiddush in the Shulchan Aruch. None of this, this doesn't appear. The later other poskim don't make mention of this. So basically, there are three shittas lamaisa in the contemporary bakeries as to how this plays out lamaisa in terms of a Parshas Challah. So if one goes straight with the Shulchan Aruch, so then the halach would be that you have to be mafish challah both on cookies as well as on cakes. If you go with the Ramban and the Chayim and the Seira, that we could split between blula ovos versus blula rakas, and then cookies you would have to be mafish challah on, but the soft battery cakes you would not have to be mafish challah on. And if you want to go to the other extreme, Aruch HaShulchan's understanding, so then just as one doesn't have to be mafish challah on cookies, one need not be mafish challah on the cakes as well. Well, those are non-Jewish companies. The non-Jewish companies are B'chlamach, Risa Seich, and probably. Jewish company, what the OU policy is on cookies, I imagine the Mafish Chala on cookies. I don't know for certain what the policy is on the batter case. On the noodles and that kind of stuff. There's a further shayla, there's a pesachuva that tones down that chumra the shach a little bit more, so it could be, it may not become as relevant. So if the shach presents it as very chumra, and then at the end of the day, it may not even be true. So what we're doing now, we've been spending most of the time talking about the term of afia, in terms of how afia relates to lechem. Is afia really a critical component of lechem? Perhaps, of course, the place of that should be the top. Afia is not as critical. But now we have to move on to the next part of the pasuk. We're going to learn one third of the pasuk today, one quarter of the pasuk. So va'afu lechem betanor. What exactly is the role of a tanor, if any, in terms of being magdir, in terms of defining what's considered to be lechem? So there is a machloikis amarayim that appears in the second parak of Masechet Pesachim, a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about what's called in halacha ma'ase ilfus. A ma'ase ilfus is a frying pan. If you take a flour and water, and you throw it onto a frying pan rather than putting it into an oven, what's the story? Is ma'ase ilpis chayiv in chala, is ma'ase ilpis patur min chala? Machlokes is in Rav Yehuda, and it says ma'ase ilpis is chayiv in chala, and Rish Lakish says the ma'ase ilpis is patur min chala. What's the machlokes? It would appear from the Gemara that the machlokes is as follows: do you require a shein tanur or not in order to be chayiv in chala? So here, when you put this flour in the water sitting on a frying pan, so it's not really bishul, there's really no liquid, it's not like it's sitting in a pot of water, so it's not really bishul, it really resembles afia. On the other end, it's not quite the same as afia, because afia is usually inside a tanur, that's a whole structure, a whole different chetz of a tanur, whereas here, the food is being prepared in the manner, the similar pa'ula of afia, but it's lacking in the same tanur. So perhaps that's the nekudas ha-machloekes between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, is there really such a halacha that you require derech tanur or not? Rabbi Yechon and Paskin that ma'ase ilpis is chayav and chala, Mishpachas Paskin that ma'ase ilpis is patur min chala. There is a machlekes that Rishonim had to understand what the case was. What exactly were they arguing about? Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Natan is quoted by Tosfos in this sugya, up on the Ches, Zion, the Ches, and Sochem. Rabbi Natan was very bothered with this sugya because Rabbi Natan says, I don't understand. What are the Amoraim having a machlekes about whether frying pans are considered to be like ovens, whether it's called an afiyah batana, do you need afiyah batana or not? Says Rabbi Natan, paper blade that is chayav in chala from the time of Lisha. From the very moment you put the flour and the water together, doesn't everybody know? Since you've been at town, doesn't everybody know what I said? Doesn't everybody? Didn't everyone come to the shiur that we love? No matter what you do to we love, even if you're not cook a we love, it's going to be chayav and challah. So what if I'm around during whether frying pans are like a tanner or not? People believe it's chayav mishas lisha. So says Rabbi Natan, toichom rakusha, that we have to redefine the machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish as only referring to blila rakos. But in Achinami, if it would be a blila ava, then there would be no point in the machlekes. It's chayav mchal mitam lisha. The whole machlekes is only hakamim mayaskida on a blila raka. So blila raka, the taka is no shas lisha. The blila raka is not called a lisha. The only possible machayev would be the afia. Mamish like the case of the sponge cake. So you require afia in order for a blila raka to become chayav mchal. You need an afia. So that's the machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Do you require an afia betanur? Or is just an afiyah, as long as it's a shame afiyah that's good enough, it need not necessarily be an afiyah betanur. That's how Rabbeinu Tam sizes up the machlokes. Needless to say, all the Rishonim who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, the Rash, the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, anyone who doesn't accept Rabbeinu Tam, so can learn the Gemara Kepshuto. The Gemara is talking about Blila Rakas, the Gemara is talking about Blila Ovas, there's no difference. Because according to the Rash, Blila Ova itself is not a Mechayiv and Chala. Blila Ova is only a Mechayiv and Chala if it reaches the point of afiyah. So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Is that called an afiyah betana? Do you need an afiyah betana or not? So the machlokes Rabbi Tam and the other Rishonim is now going to impact upon how to learn pshat, what's the case, what is the scenario that Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish are arguing about. But upon the matter, how you slice the Rabbi Tam's route, the other Rishonim's route, the mice, there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, whether a mice ilpas is chayav or chala or not, whether you require the dinner of a tanner. How do we pass him halacha in this machlokes? So we would think that we pass him like Rabbi Yechon, and normally the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon. That's how many of the Rishonim pass him, but most of the Rishonim pass him this way. And Tosfos quotes that there were some Rishonim who disagreed, some Rishonim of course from Ben Hanano, who said this is one of the cases where we pass him like Rish Lakish, even though the Gemara doesn't list this as one of the Yotzim in HaKlal in the beginning of the fourth part of the Yavamas. But still, from the Hemshech HaSugya, it would appear from the Gemara Pesach that Rish Lakish may be onto something here, and he may be correct in this Machlokes. So at the end of the day, it's Machlokes that we've shown him who is right, Lamais. Is Rabbi Yechon right that there really is no Din of Etaner? Or is Rish Lakish right? No, that there is, not just the Din of Enafiyah, there's a Din of Enafiyah Betaner as well. The Gemara then quotes another Machlokes, Machlokes HaTanoim, about the following shayla. What would that locha be if you take flour and you cook it up together with water? You pour boiling water onto it, you put it into a pot, your mamish cook it up into a big mush, and then you subsequently put it into the oven. What would that locha be? Such a mixture, be chayv and chala or not? So the Gemara says, of course it's chayv and chala. What's the shayla? It had an afiyah. It was an afiyah. It was an afiyah betanur. Why in the world do I care that 5 minutes ago you poured hot water on it? Why should that make any difference whatsoever? So the Gemara quotes one Tanu who disagrees, Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, even that's Patr and Chala. Why is that Patr and Chala? It had an afiyah, and it had an afiyah betana. What could possibly be wrong with such food? So So comes the Gemara and says, Amdu Drash, according to Rav Yehuda, you require Tanur Echad. At the end, I told you that we cover all four words. So it says, V'apu Noshim, Ese Noshim, Ma'avacham, et Tanur Echad. So what does Tanur Echad mean? So we know with Pshutl Shemikra, obviously, is Derech Tovacha, but Rav Yehuda is dashing a Din Deraita from this Pasuk. And Rav Yehuda says that Lechem HaNefa V'Tanur Echad Ikri Lechem, Lechem She'eno Nefa V'Tanur Echad Lo Ikri Lechem. That any bread that was prepared with one process, namely went through one mice of a fiyah, so that's what created the same lechem on it, so then it's considered to be chayv and chal, then it's called lechem. But any bread that had to first undergo a process of bishul, and then only subsequently it was baked in the oven, that's mufka from the same lechem. Azag zeres akosav, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the chora of Yehuda is building on Rish Lakish, he's going even one step further than Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said that not only do you need a fiyah, you need a fiyah betanur. Rabbi Yehuda is saying not only do you need a fiyah, not only do you need a fiyah betanur, but that's got to be the only process. And if you have anything else stuffed into the whole process of preparation of this bread that was anything besides an fiyah betanur echad, so that's oisu lechem, that's not considered to be lechem. That's quite a chiddush, that's mamsha chiddush of Rabbi Chiddush, Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Do we pass it like Rabbi Yehuda? So it was one day in Rishayim to pass it like Rabbi Yehuda, and all the other Rishayim say it's not true. We don't pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. They brought a raya that we don't pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. It's inconceivable we should pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. Based on the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara Pesachim says that if a person takes flour on Pesach and he pours boiling water on it, it's called chavot. So we have a practice, we don't do that, because we're always chashish for chametz. The din is, mikra din, if you take flour and you mamish pour boiling water on it, so it cooks up the flour right away, it can never become chametz. But we have a minute from the days of the Gaonim that we don't know, similar, like a forerunner of Gebrux a little bit. It means, just as the people of Machron and Gebrux, so they're choshish, maybe we didn't bake the flour properly, so maybe we didn't bake the dough properly, maybe it could become chametz. So that's already a chumr bi'al, but that was a much later chumr, but the minute of the Gaonim already was that chalita we don't do anymore in Pesach. That's because pouring boiling water and flour, you don't know, maybe you didn't pour it right, maybe you didn't get all of the flour, maybe it's going to become chametz. Therefore, nobody does chalita anymore. But Medina the Gemara, you're allowed to do chalita. So the Gemara says, in theory, you could take a pound of flour, pour boiling water on it, and then eat it on Pesach. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not chametz bechlal. It was cooked up right away. It's not going to become chametz. Then the Gemara says, what would the din be if you took this chalita and then you threw it into the oven? You baked it up into a matzah. So the Gemara says, that's fine. That's okay. If you ate the mitzvah, the rice, the erev tech, the matzahs with it, the Gemara says, it's called lechamayni. It's not a problem. Het the Gemara. Nothing wrong with being yotzi the mitzvah of Ma'asav with Chalitza. Gemara Tavin Yevamos, not Gemara Pesachim. Gemara Pesachim has something else about Chalitza. Gemara Yevamos in the fourth paragraph writes the Devar Pashut that Chalitza is good for the mitzvah derayis of Ma'asav. So come all the Rishonim and say, if it's good for Ma'asav, it's called Lechem. I mean, how can you be able to say Ma'asav? It's not called Lechem. The Ma'asav, the Torah says Lechadoni. It has to be Lechem. So you see clearly from the sum of the Gemara Yevamos that Chalitza Shenefa is good for the purposes of Ma'asav, that there is no such halach of Taner Echad. Rabbi Yehuda held as a din of Taner Echad. Nobody in the world holds like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of Taner Echad. So therefore, Lemaisa, we're not Chayshish Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we hold B'lishim Safeg that anything that was Chalita, which was subsequently baked, is called Lechem, and it's called Lechem Filchus Chalem, Filchus Brachus, and Filchus Matz, and for Kol Dini HaTorah. It's based on this that the Shulchan Aruch writes unequivocally in Hilchos Brachos that one recites Hamotzi on such a food as well. Just as we rejected Rabbi Yehuda in Hilchos Chala, we reject Rabbi Yehuda in Hilchos Brachos, and therefore if you take some flour and you throw pour boiling water on it, make a big clump of mush out of it, and then throw it into the oven, so we assume that that's okay. It's not Taner Echad. Who cares? There is no din of Taner Echad. So what do we call that clump of dough that was a bunch of thing of flour that was thrown boiling water on and thrown into an oven, call that a bagel. So that's how you make bagels. So you cook up the flour with the water first, and then you subsequently bake it. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, doesn't use the word bagel in Shulchan Aruch, but the Chazanish, and that didn't Shulchan Aruch. Chazanish says, Mashakorin bagel, Bezyodjud Gimel Lamed, he says, Mashakorin bagel, you make a motzi on, and that's the reason. A bagel is a classic example of what we mentioned in the Mishnah. Luchora. How does Rabbeinu Tam explain Rabbi Yehuda?
According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you bake in one oven and then in the middle put it to another oven,
According to Rabbi Yehuda, shouldn't you be chayv? You should be chayv already all the way back in the time of Blila Ava. Right, so it could be Rabbi Yehuda maybe disagrees with the whole story. Hold the whole Mishnah Chalam, maybe Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with it. Right, maybe a pasuk Rabbi Yehuda Legamer, right? So So basically what we're saying about the bagel should come out, if you remember we equated before Ilchus Brachas, Ilchus Bishalachim, Ilchus Pasachim, that whatever is considered to be passed for the purposes of Ilchus Brachas is considered to be passed for the purposes of Ilchus Kashrus as well. So therefore, L'chora, a bagel is not a problem. It's not a problem with Bishalachim and a bagel. The bagel should be mutter because they're Pasachim. It means that they're Pasachim. So Jerusalem says, Mechubu would be mastered on them. For the rest of the year, we would have no qualms eating a completely baked non-Jewish bagel, assuming that it's considered to be pas, it's lechem, and therefore it's pas, and it's not considered to be bishalachim. The poskim on the ora that there is a slight problem in terms of bagels, in terms of bishalachim, a little bit of a twist of a problem. That here, bagels have one thing going against them that the other foods we mentioned until now didn't have, and that's as follows. Bagels, what would the halacha have been if the non-Jew takes the flour, and he pours the boiling water onto the flour, and if he would stop at that point, and he wouldn't do anything more? So then we would clearly have to pass because that mush is also to eat, because that's bishul, that's mamish bishulachim, that's not pass, it wasn't thrown to the oven yet, that's nothing, but except there have been tam, the office is meaningless. So clearly at that stage in the game, if we would just stop at the point of chalipa, at the first stage of the making of the bagel process, so clearly we would have to ask for that mishum bishulachim. So now you have a strange thing, something which is nesa mishum bishulachim is going to be chayzel hatero, it's going to become mutter again. And it's because you put it into the oven afterwards and you bake it, that's going to be mafkia, the hitzer b'shalachim. Everything we've had up until now, there never was an hitzer b'shalachim chal on it. It means the guy puts it into the oven, so he puts the donuts into the oil, he puts the cookies into the oven, he puts the bread into the oven, so it was never nasa in the first place. So at the end of the day, we have to be kidding, is this pas or is this bishal? But these bagels are prepared in two stages, and the first stage was the bad stage. That was the no-no stage. That was the stage that was bishul. So the chorus, something which is nesa, mishum bishulachon, how is it? Heichem atzina that it's chosel at teiro. So the poskim of makel and bagels, if they're not a problem, bishulachon for two different reasons. One is a technical metzius reason, that apparently the experts in the bagel industry have told us that at that middle stage, if you would just try to eat them at that point of a big mush with the hot water and flour, not only would not be Ola Shuch Melochem, I think you'd get pretty sick from it. So that's not considered to be Royal Achiva at that stage. So therefore, the Isra Bishalachim was never really chal on it. It means in theory, something which is Nesa Mishum Bishalachim remains the Suli Olam Vod, but Lamaisa, bagels were never Nesa Mishum Bishalachim because they were never Royal Achiva at the early stage. And then a second reason that suggested a more halachic reason is that in Ochinami, in the realm of Bishalachim, we talk on Nekil, that just because something was Nasa Mishum Bishalachim doesn't mean that it remains Bishul the Olam Vod. It is Taka Efshet Bali Dehetta. There's an emotional to this. The halacha is that let's say you have a guy cooks you up a piece of meat, and the guy cooks the meat to the point of Michael Ben Jusai, and that meat is now also Mishum Bishalachim. What if the Jew then takes the meat off the fire and then puts it back on the fire and finishes off the cooking? So the machlok is the rash from the rash, machlok is machaber, the ramah would make, the ramah would make a meek radin, but that's not called bishalach, and that's called partial bishal yisrael. So even though the guy already asked the meat at the stage, it was, if you wanted to eat this steak rare, that would have been asr, because it was already nasa mishum bishalachim. Apopichem, the Jew takes it off the fire and puts it back on again, it's a chozel hatera, because bishalachim is a very unique type of halacha. The chazal were very, very negligent of the bishalachim. One of the coolest was, you look at the end product, you don't have to take it apart at the different stages. So for a variety of reasons, the minig is l'hocha, we assume that the bagels are kosher, that they're only considered to be paspal, they can't even say mitchum, but the rest of the year, one would be permitted to eat them. So up until now, we've been talking about the creation of the Shein Lechem, with Afiyah and Tana, with different roles, these different halachic concepts play. There's one last clue in the sugya, speak about just for a moment, and that's assuming you have something which is called Lechem. You already created Lechem. Mamish Lechem Gomer, it's a piece of bread, a piece of matzah, it had a blue avash, and nefa, it's got everything, Tana Rechem, whatever you name it, it's got everything going for it, it's Chayav and Chayav, Samoti, etc. Is there anything that I could possibly do to it to be mevatel the Shem Lechem from it? Is there anything I could do to this food that could be canceled, that could revoke its original status of Lechem? So here there is a complicated sugya in Masechet Brachos in the sixth parak. The sugya is called Chavitza, which without getting into all the details of the sugya right now, basically boils down to the following. That Taisus points out that there are three different categories of potential things that could be done to be mevatel the Shem Lechem, primarily in terms of the Bracha HaMotzi. So it says Tosfos, that if you take a piece of bread and you just break it up into little pieces and you just keep on breaking and breaking and breaking, breaking into breadcrumbs, so that's garnish. That's lamalav lamayri. The bracha is still hamotzi. The kazayis is still bench on it. Like the mashal matzah meal. Matzah meal is considered to be lechem gomel lechol dini Torah. If a person has trouble chewing a piece of matzah on Pesach night, you can have a kazayis matzah meal, shmur matzah meal, and that's perfectly okay. Lechem chiva for the mitzvah achilas matzah. We assume that as long as no other process, just merely grinding up into little pieces, that is not levat l'shem lechem. However, says Tosus, based on his reading of the Gemara and the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, says Tosus, what would that locha be if you cooked a piece of bread? You took a piece of bread and then subsequently put it into argument, take it into a kli rishon, you threw it into a pot of water, a pot of boiling water, so then you're in for trouble. Then you could be potentially be mevatel l'shem lechem. What does it depend on? So Tosus claims, based on the Yerushalmi, it depends on the size of the piece. If the size of the piece of bread is more than a kazayis, that's another chashuv, so then bishul is not going to be mafkiyah the shem lechem. Again, the lechem is already created. Now the shayla is, can the bishul cancel, can it revoke the shem lechem? So Taisa says, if the piece of bread is more than a kazayis, nothing's going to do it. Even bishul is not going to affect it. If it's less than a kazayis, then you're up to creep. If it's less than a kazayis, then bishul is a mevatel the shem lechem. That's how Taisa sizes up the sugyas, the bavi, and the Yerushalmi in the sixth pack of brachos. Then Taisa creates a third category. What if you don't actually cook the bread, but you don't just grind it up into little pieces, you mix in other ingredients into it? Let's say, Marshall, you take little pieces of bread, and you put some honey into it, you put some other liquids into it, you put some soup into it, you make some oil into it, you make it into some kind of a dish, which is not done there official, on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's not just ground up pieces of bread, it's bread mixed in with other things. So then Taisa shows you in the Gemara, then it depends on two factors. If it's a kazayis, then for sure the bracha remains the same. And even if it's less than a kazayis, the bracha could still remain the same if it still has tzuras alechem, tzuras apas. So you can still recognize it as bread. You look at it and you say, yeah, this is still a piece of bread, this is still a piece of matzah. So then the bracha will, in fact, remain the same. So again, the difference primarily between cooking bread and just merely adding liquids to bread is that cooking is only a function of kazayis. Kazayis is what's kaveh v'gamrei. And when it comes to, if it's not derech bishul, if it's the lower status of bishul, so then, even if it's less than a kazayis, it may still sometimes retain its status in terms of bread. There is a big machlekes hapotkin. What is the status of a middle ground type of procedure called frying? So deep frying, we said before, we throw something mamash drowned in a tub of oil, that's mamash bishul. What if something is not actually deep fried? It's just mixed, regular fried, regular plain, not so terrible cholesterol, a little bad cholesterol. So what's the halacha? Is that considered to be bishul, or is that considered to be the third category? That's considered to be something which wasn't prepared there as bishul. So that's a big machlekes hapotkin, probably a machlekes rishonim, and second brachos relevant to other areas of halacha. So this plays out mamash halacha lemaisa. This particular sugya, in terms of several shailos that come up in terms of hilchos lechem, in terms of those brachos. So let's say the moshe, you take a piece of bread and you throw it into a frying pan. You throw in some egg yolk in the bottom. You throw in some oil in the bottom. You make what's called French toast. So what is the bracha on French toast? Do you make a motzi in French toast or not? So, l'chora, if the piece of bread is more than a kazayis, then it's a moot question. It doesn't really matter what you define frying to be. Even if frying is bishul, even if it's the worst case scenario, but the piece is more than a kazayis. So, ruba de ruba, most people make French toast to take a big piece of bread. It's usually more than a kazayis, so therefore we can assume pretty much the halacha is that French toast still requires the bracha of a motzi. However, there's another procedure that's done in other kinds, another process done in other kinds of foods, which is a little bit harder to be magvir, and that is the matzah brine. So we're post-Pesach, we're post-Pesach Sheni. So if you take a piece of matzah, and you break it into little pieces, and you throw those little pieces into the frying pan, you throw some oil and some eggs and some really good healthy stuff in, and then you take it out and you eat it. So what's the correct bracha on matzah brine? So matzah brine is mamish stuck right in the middle, right smack in the middle of the shiloh. Why? Because we're not sure whether that process that you just did is called bishul or whether that's called not derech bishul. If it's derech bishul, so each piece of the matzah brai, you don't go after the whole pan, you go after each piece, the Machon Avraham says. So each piece of the matzah brai was less than a kazayis. So if frying is considered to be the halakha equivalent of bishul, so then it loses its brachas, and the brachas is going to go down to a mezonos in the matzah brai. However, if frying is not the equivalent of bishul, so then it's like the third category in halakha, and even though it's less than a kazayis, but it still has tzuras apas, If it's still asur sapas, then you still recite a bracha b'motzi on it. So the Mishabur throws his hands up at this young Yiddish rabbi and makes him this delicious bowl of matzah brown paste, and Mishabur throws his hands up and says he doesn't know what bracha to make on it. The svegula dina, whether you make a motzi, whether you make mezonos, because you have to eat in the middle of a meal. The kippi mechariya, this machlokes, have you shown him about whether the frying is like the baking, whether it's like the cooking. So anyway, I call upon him, try to give at least a little bit of an insight when we get to this week's parasha of Ofel Noshim, Eser Noshim, Achim Tan Rechot. So there's a lot of dinim. You have to remember what all these klolim are, what lechem, what chiyah, what tanah, what echad, but all these klolim are, and then try to figure out lemais what to do with all these things. Maybe this is on digital, or is this on digital?